This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from Tantalk Radio Network Studio in glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and for readers to enjoy a good book. Well, I have a really wonderful guest today. He is the god of the book world, one of those people that every writer is always looking for and seeking out and just so anxious to hear from. A real New York City literary agent, Bob McCoy. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Patsy. How are you today?
Okay, great. Well, you know, you guys and gals are on a special, you know, tip-top of a mountain, and somebody that every writer dreams about eventually meeting. So it's really fun for my listeners to be able to hear from you.
Well, I would say I'm one of the demigods, if I even rank that.
Well,
but we are a rather small crowd.
And a very exclusive and very important and very powerful. And because I know some of the deals that you've made, which are really quite great. And let's talk a little bit, tell everybody a little bit about, I mean, you've done a lot in the publishing world before you became an agent. Everything.
I have stopped at many of the publishing stations of the cross. I was an editor for a number of years at a variety of houses. I was at Del Delacorte. I was at Morrow Avon. I was at Simon & Schuster. I was at Crown, a division of Random House. And then I jumped the fence one day and became an agent. Decided that it might be more fun to have equity in some of the projects that I was doing, and to actually not have to worry about my writers leaving me to go to another editor. If I'm their agent, they can have as many editors as they want.
and you have all the
joy themselves for an editor.
That's right, and you have all the joy of being in on the big deals, and it's so much. It must be so much fun for you when you find, you know, you get a writer that you can really get them a wonderful deal.
Well, it's fun to big deals, small deals. As much as it pleases my pocketbook and my wife, it is satisfying to get any deal for any writer because it means that they finally are going to have a platform where they can get their story told, where they can have their voice emerge in the cultural conversation. That is always satisfying, and I look, you know, near, far, high, and low to find them a place to play. That's the satisfaction.
Well, you know, one of the things I want to talk to you about, you know, of course, things have changed so much in the publishing world with all the independent writers coming along. And you, I know you have talked a lot about the hybrid writer, somebody who's both indie and represented by an agent. And, you know, I get a lot, of course, a lot of my listeners are independent, you know, self-published, and then some people aren't sure what to do, and there's been so many successful indie writers like Hugh Howey, like I think he sold over a million just of one book, his wool book. I think he came, maybe 10 million now, something outrageous like that. And John Locke, who sold a million of his books, I think he priced them at 99 cents, but a million at 99 cents is not bad, you know?
No, it's not. And again, it is a way to get into the conversation. I am very enthusiastic about hybrid authors because my background, long ago and far away, at Dell, was in mass market publishing. And in the 70s and 80s in mass market publishing, one of the interesting things was it was cheaper for a publisher to just go ahead and publish a book in a new area than it was for them to pay a market research group for a focus group to say, well, readers would love to see this. Well, in those days, it was cheaper for us to go out, buy a book, publish a book, see how it did in the market. Today, the demands of publishing are much higher. The bar for success is higher. The need to reduce losses is much higher. So publishers are, by needs and by deeds, rather more conservative than they were in past years. The good news for authors is that they can afford to publish the 99-cent book, to give away a book, to find out if there is a market for the kind of story that they want to tell. And sometimes, as with you, or as with John Locke, or as with my client Jennifer Ashley, or as with my client Tim Hallinan, or as with my client Paige Tyler, it's a way to find new venues, a way to find new sorts of stories, is to just go ahead and publish it and to have the satisfaction of finishing a book on Friday and having it in the market on Saturday.
Wow.
And to very quickly learn what the public wants from you, what the public loves that you love. My client Jennifer Ashley has been writing mysteries for some time, and she actually gathered a group of mystery short stories that she had written over the years, put them out in an anthology, and said to the readers, you know, which one of these five stories do you like best? They picked one. We took that character, that kind of story, a historical mystery, and took it to publishers who, when they heard the results of the anthology and when they looked at the project, said, oh, my God, yes, we love this, too. You know, what editors are looking for is something that, one, speaks to them, that, two, appeals to them, and that, three, they have some clue, some indication from the market that this works, that this has a broad appeal, and we were able to supply that. And I think that's one of the things that independent authors can, you know, can do to serve themselves, their work, and their careers, is to do what publishers are, to a degree, unable to do, which is just flat-out experiment. Just treat the market like the laboratory that it is. And in doing so, they can discover, you know, maybe the next trend or maybe a hook that will point them toward the next trend, or maybe they just develop their skills. That's another thing that the independent market offers authors, is you can go out and you can fail very quietly, or you can succeed very loudly. And not have your failure held against you, and have, you know, and shine a spotlight on your success.
And you can use that, if there's a failure, you can use it as a learning experience, and
absolutely,
and then find out what you've done wrong and change it.
Well, I mean, when you look around at successful people in almost any field, if you look far enough back, you will see that their success is built on a number of failures. I had a client who seemed to be stuck and was stuck for a while until one of the members of his writer's group said to him, "I think your problem is you're not writing badly enough." And my guy went, I'm sorry, what? And his partner in the writer's group just said, "You know, you bring really pretty stuff in every month after month after month. And frankly, it's just pretty. I think what you really need to do is write fast, write long, write badly till you hit something that actually excites you and us." And, you know, he did fail upwards. And he did throw things against the wall for a bit. And I literally mean throw things at the wall. Fortunately, he was still printing things out, so he did. He never threw his laptop at the wall.
Oh, that's good.
But you know, there is something to be said, and to be said loudly and often about, you know, writing to fail. You know, if it encourages you to take the risk that will get you to something new, and that is. Editors live to say no. Saying no makes their lives much, much simpler. Every time they say no, it means that that's a book they're not going to have to worry about. That's a writer they're not going to have to deal with. And what they're looking for is something that just will not allow them to say no. Something that is in some way distinctly new and different from what they have been seeing, what they have been working with, what they have been publishing. And you don't find that new thing by simply trying to do what's working a little bit better than what everyone else is doing. I think anytime you start looking at the most successful books, novels, nonfiction, in the independent market, or even on the bestseller list, it's the ones that surprise you, the ones that are not an incremental change on what's out there, but which accomplish something that is distinctly different and new.
Well, you know, independent authors, you know, they'll come to me and they'll say, "Well, you know, I've written this book and it's unusual, and I'm self publishing it, but I don't think an agent will ever talk to me." And so you're of the opposite mind. There, you know, it was that I suppose at one time it was like there was that feeling, but now agents talk to people who have published independently.
Yes, we do. We'd be insane not to. Too many of us have found someone who is doing terrific work in the independent. Too many of us know stories of other agents who work in the same space that we do. Who have found an independent and who have, you know, have accomplished a great deal, who have managed to convince these folks that it does benefit them. I mean, you know, one of the brutal truths is that there are a number of independent successes who have been approached by agent after agent and have gotten the answer, you know, have gotten the response, "Well, I mean, sorry, but what can you do for me that I can't do for myself?" And that is that's a very different conversation than any of us ever expected, because as the gods of publishing,
that's right,
we really expect writers to, you know, be willing to do anything to work with us. Well, that's you know, there is a power, and there's a leverage that independent publishing offers writers. You can be too cool for school. You can be too big for us to break you to harness. There is a moment when you have to, as a writer, say, listen, you need to show me something bigger than just you saying hi and I'd love to work with you. You need to show me a plan. You need to show me a program. You need to show me a reason for me to give up this independence. And there are very good reasons for that. But it does mean that you, as a writer, get to be taken seriously from moment one in a way that that a writer who simply shows up with a wonderful book cannot.
Well, there are many reasons why, and having an agent is a fantastic thing. I mean, there's agents just know so much. You guys know so many of the pitfalls of the business, and you know the problems that arise, and then you are able to open doors to things that that independent authors still can't get without.
There is a validation that comes with being with representation. There is also a wealth of experience. There are lots and lots and lots of problems, of issues and challenges that will land on an independent writer's doorstep. And there are opportunities that representation can offer. We can offer access to the foreign market. We can offer access to film representation. We can offer the validation of having someone with experience speak for you. We can, what writers are doing in a very natural and organic way is creating intellectual property. And if one goes online and Googles the phrase intellectual property, you will see that it is fraught.
Personal experience, I know.
It's a territory that comes with a great many challenges, that comes with a great many opportunities, but differentiating one from the other is not always like turning a light off or on. It's not binary. There are challenges that are opportunities. There are opportunities that are challenges, and there are opportunities that offer, a road to dusty death and disaster. And having someone with whom you can have a privileged conversation, a conversation where you're getting not only experience but someone who has dealt with both the problems and the promises can be extremely handy.
Oh, absolutely! It's so hard sometimes for independent writers to and people who have published themselves. They do get themselves into messes, whether it's as I was involved with one writer who just discovered that what they had written somebody objected to, there's just so many things on so many levels. And that's why when you've been in the business for as long as you've been, I know that you you probably heard most of the horror stories.
I've actually been part of some of the horror stories. So, yes.
Yeah, I know.
being part of a lawsuit, being part of a contractual disaster, being part of a cinematic success, being all of these things are exciting,
and being part
and worst possible senses of that word,
and the absolute one of the things that of course you get involved in as an agent every once in a while when you're really having a good day, an auction.
Auctions are interesting. They're actually somewhat rarer than they once were, largely because the publishers tend to want to either move much more quickly or back away much more quickly than they ever did before. So the last couple of times when I thought I was going to take something to auction, somewhere between 1 and 5 days before the date of the auction, someone would show up and say, I have an offer and I want to preempt. And it was good enough that we, called and apologized to all the other people in the room. Sorry, but this is gone. It doesn't make you real popular, but it does sometimes allow you the opportunity to put your client in a position that is more advantageous than when you just are dealing with the cash.
Yeah. Well, that must be exciting. I always think how exciting that is to get involved in that. Now, when, say, an independent author has they published their book and it's out there and they're selling it, they're working on actively selling it. If they want to come to you, what do they have to tell you? What do they have to tell you about what they have? Is there like a minimum? Somebody'd have to say, well, I sold 10,000 books before you talk to them, or is there something like that? What exactly are you looking for if somebody comes to you?
It's more than anything, it's velocity. If you tell me you sold 500 in a year and a half, that's not terribly interesting. If you tell me you sold 1,500 in the first few weeks on sale, that's very interesting because it indicates that either you've done something new and different or you've tagged on to some successful story space or that you've had an idea in terms of either marketing the book or positioning yourself or creating your brand, or you've built a platform, you've done something that's effective. And so, I want, as you come to me, I want you to say, I've sold this. This is where I sold it. This is how I sold it. This is why I think it sold. Have a conversation ready. Don't simply say to me, don't simply say to me, I was an Amazon bestseller. Well, yeah, anybody can be an Amazon bestseller for a minute and a half. That's not a positive, because it's something that literally can happen for a minute and a half, until the next time that, or I was a bestseller, but it was, a subgenre of a subgenre of a subgenre of a subgenre of a category. I was military history, Korea, Marine.
Yeah, that's not too impressive. So
yeah, that's 8 copies.
Yeah.
Tell me what matters. Tell me that I've done this. I've sold this many. I sold them here. I sold them in this way. I position myself this way. I have a newsletter with 5,000 followers. I have a Facebook page for my character, my series, my work with, with 10,000 followers. I've got, I am doing something and it is effective. Show me, and even if you're wrong about what's actually happening, the fact that you have put together something that you are both writing and thinking, things that are sometimes mutually exclusive, about your marketing, about your positioning, about your platform, about your work, this becomes something that is interesting. And it is, if you are building something, not just writing and stuffing it into the market, then you should be interesting. And you are worth having a conversation with.
So if somebody came to you, they've already had one, let's say one book published and it's selling, it's okay. You're not going to be an agent for that book. You would be the agent for the next book coming up or all the next books coming up.
Well, I would probably represent those subsequent books. But that first book, there's a lot for me to do.
Like selling international rights?
The first book, I can say, all right, in terms of publishing this with a publisher, is there a reason for this to have a second life? Yes or no? Have you done something that is so new and different and been sufficiently successful that there are film rights that I should take to my film agent? Is this successful enough in the U.S. market? Should I take this to my foreign rights partner? And might we sell this in the U.K., in France, in Germany, in Eastern Europe, in Italy, in Spain, in Japan? If we don't do any of these things right now, is this the origin story for a series of novels? And does this novel give us a tool with which we can market the subsequent novel? For instance, it's been 99 cents, $1.99, $2.99. Can we, as soon as we sell the next book in the series to a publisher, can we use that news to increase the price of the ebook for the first book? And then just before the new book is published, we drop it to free, and we add three chapters from the next novel. Can the fact that you've published this book independently give us a tool where we can help the publisher, with which we can help the publisher succeed? Can we get the numbers up? Can we do something that then, pushes that next book with a publisher higher on the list, higher in everyone's, thought space, and thereby create demand for this book and the new book or the rest of the series in Hollywood, in television, in the foreign markets? Always be looking at the totality of the career and looking to and trying to understand what tools we're being given by dint of having these two lives, these two tracks that we're moving your narrative, your career, your platform, and your readers along.
Well, I think you have a fantastic job. I've always admired literary agents because not only do you get to read, I mean, that's how I come upon this. I was reading all my life and reading and reading and reading, and my husband kept saying, well, why do we need all these books? And why do we need all these books? And, years went by and books mounted up to 5,000, 6,000 books, and we're schlepping them all over the world. I kept saying something's going to come of it. I don't know what. I don't know why I have to read all this. And then, 18 months ago, I started a radio program. And so I get the fun of talking to all of these wonderful authors. And I hope that you'll send me some of your authors because I just love to talk to them. And, one of your authors, Dash, who wrote the, Dash Shaw. He did a.
Oh, yes.
I've been wanting to talk to Dash because I have some people who are writing books, not quite like that, but I would love to have him on the program.
One of the unusual things about Creative Book Services is that we do represent a number of graphic novel creators.
And there are so many people out there who love them and enjoy them. And I've been wanting to talk to Dash because I really like his work.
Well, Dash, you may not know. You should take a look at Dash's website. What he's working in right now, primarily, is animation. And he has his first short film coming out in the very near future. So you should go check that out.
I will. And then maybe he'll come on the program because we get a lot of illustrators who listen in because they're always interested in cover art projects. And so, it's just been wonderful to talk to you, Bob. Your website is very minimalist.
My website is almost non-existent, largely because at this stage in my career, most of my new clients come by way of referral. I have been going to a few conferences here recently. But
if people send you an email,
if people send me an email at bob.mikoy@gmail.com with a query, I will give it consideration.
You never know. You never know.
You never, ever, ever know.
That's it.
All right.
Okay. Well, Bob,
thank you so much.
And as I said, send me some of your authors. I would just love to talk to them about, they can tell me more about you and they can tell me about their product.
<All right. laughs>
I'm sure they have wonderful things. Every agent I ever met is worth their weight in gold. So I don't know how much you weigh, but you're pretty valuable.
Well, thank you. And I hope that you and your readers have a very good day today.
Okay. Thanks so much for joining me today. It was a joy.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye now.
Not readers. Bye-bye.
And my listeners and my readers. Bye.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you an author? An artist? An inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida, can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Looking for a good book? Then get over to Miami Avenue Book Nook in Indian Rocks Beach. Check out the latest books from local authors like Angela Hunt, who wrote the book for the film Risen, or Bonsu Brenvick, whose books preserve the memories of the Bellevue Biltmore Hotel. What do you enjoy reading? A thriller? A romance? How about a mystery or a sci-fi? At the Book Nook, you'll find it all. Remember, one of the joys of life is to read. Located in Indian Rocks Beach, look for the blue building with the mermaid on the side. On the corner of Miami Avenue and 2nd Street, two blocks south of the post office. Open Tuesday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Saturday, noon to 4. And don't forget, while you're there, check out Miami Avenue's great collection of Florida wines, local art, and fantastic gifts. Miami Avenue Book Nook, where you will be inspired to read.
Hi, I'm John Rakowski with Charles Ruttenberg Realty. Don't you love living here in the Tampa Bay area? Oh, I'm sorry, you don't live here yet? Well, if you already are or thinking about it, call me at my office at 727-538-9200 extension 2 for any real estate needs, including a free market analysis of your home. Your home is worth more than you can imagine. Call me today at 727-538-9200 extension 2. I'm John Rakowski.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z, and I'm back, and I'm just waiting for a call from New York from an author who is must be really excited because not only is it her book release, in a month she's going to have her first movie released. So I'm waiting for her to call in here, Megan Schull. And meanwhile, I want to talk to you a little bit about, I was talking the other day to Amor Tolles, who wrote A Gentleman in Moscow. And it was such a thrill to talk to him, and I was very effusive because it is a fantastic book. And one of the reasons I recommend it is you rarely get a book that is so well done and so beautifully done. And the writing is so superlative that you just have to stop and say, people, read this book. Because if you're a writer and you're you know, you're working hard and you need inspiration and you need to see and to read some really great writing, you can't go wrong with Amor Towles. His second book, this is a book called A Gentleman in Moscow. It's just wonderful writing. Now, tonight I'm going to be at the St. Petersburg Public Library with my legal eagle, Bill Larson, and we're going to be talking about intellectual property law. And as just my guest in the first half hour was mentioning, Bob McCoy, and he's a really fantastic agent, there are so many times that you do run into legal problems, and it is nice to have a lawyer sort of in your back pocket, somebody that you can turn to when you need. And so I hope that if you have time, come out to the public library. It's downtown St. Pete, the big one. And it's going to be fun, and it's going to be informative, and just something that we will really enjoy doing, because Bill loves to talk about the law, and I love to talk about all the writers that I've interviewed. And I cannot, I deliberately don't always say about all the problems that they have because I don't like to upset them. But some of them have had some major lawsuits. And so I'm just waiting now, and I think we're just getting her on the phone now, and I'm going to be talking to my guest in a few minutes. And the authors are always so excited on the release day because it's a big day, and especially with the ones who are set in New York. And they go into the publisher's studios over there up in New York City, and they have studios, and they get to make videos for television or and then for radio. So it's just lots of fun to be able to talk to them. And I think I have on the phone the author I have been waiting for, Megan Schull.
Oh, what a sweet welcome. Hey, Patsy.
Hi. Oh, well, it is so great to talk to you. As I was saying, today must be a bouncy, bouncy day for you because Bounce came out.
That's right. Bounce just came out and it was released September 6th. So it's been kind of whirlwind, awesome.
Isn't it?
It's so fun. It's so fun. Such an opposite life for a writer. Most of my life is pretty alone.
That's right. And that's what happens. And then you get this wonderful chance to get out and meet everybody and meet your fans and see the enthusiasm. And I know you have a lot of fans. It was really great to see... just this weekend, there was the first of sort of a teaser for the movie that's coming out for The Swap.
Right. Yeah, it's been amazing. One of my last book that came out in 2014, just a year or so later, became a Disney movie, and now 2 years after it's out, exactly this fall, it's premiering October 6th. October
7th. It's October 7th, and the promo was great. They played it during one of my favorite movies, The Adventures in Babysitting.
Oh yeah,
I love that movie.
Hilarious.
It's so hilarious, and I'm so looking forward to this because The Swap was wonderful, and of course, one of the things that you said, in the beginning of that book, you said you used a quote, could a greater miracle take place than for us to look through each other's eyes for an instant, right? And that's from Henry David Thoreau. And well, you did it in The Swap, and you've done it again in Bounce, which is really funny. Tell us a little bit about Franny Hudson, the seventh grader in this story.
Okay. Well, before I tell you that, I'll tell you I'm talking to you from my hometown, Ithaca, New York. I'm at the Cornell University Broadcast Studios, and the reason that is relevant is because I got my doctorate from Cornell, and when I left, I really set out on a very purposeful mission to write books that would hopefully nurture young readers, and I really kind of own that I really strongly believe that books can be more than stories. They can be hope. And I'm, I guess, all about helping kids find that strong, better part of themselves, even when they can't change their circumstance. And so that's my jam, and that informs everything I do. And I think that's perhaps why the swap resonated. I get a lot of letters where kids are like, I just read it like 10 times. It just makes me feel better.
Well, the nice thing about your books, both The Swap and now Bounce, you write it, it's not like you don't pretty up the families. They're real families. They're real things that kids go through. So they're so relatable to young kids. And you make it so, your writing is so nice. You know, it's just sort of flows nicely. And I can see that, you know, younger readers will really enjoy it. I mean, I enjoyed it. I'm not a younger reader, but I enjoyed it because it just, the story just moves. And as I said, there's a reality to them that is very touching, too. I tell you, at the end of Bounce, I was just choked up, which it doesn't normally affect me, but I was really choked up. So tell us a little bit about Franny.
Yeah, thanks, Patsy. That means so much to me to hear. Franny Hudson, she's 12 years old. She's having a really bad day when you meet her at the beginning of the book, and I'll try and tell this without spoilers for your audience that's going to get the book. But she's having a super hard day. And on top of that, her family is just not like they're not unicorns and peaches. they're not like the kindest, gentlest family. And she's the youngest, and she's just her parents are really not emotionally there for her in terms of seeing her, soothing her, helping her manage painful emotions that are really normal. And so I don't think, you know, she sees that, but from an adult perspective, that's what's going on. And so she wishes for another family and just wishes she felt more safe and had people who loved her. And then magically, after a stormy night, she wakes up in another body.
She bounces.
Yeah, with a whole new family. And the big hook, as you know, Patsy, is that this keeps happening over and over and over and over again. And I got that a little riff off Groundhog Day, the movie.
Which I love, too.
Just like, you know, she's like, what is going on? And she keeps experiencing the exact same day in terms of calendar year. Oh, it happens to be Christmas Day. Over and over and over again, each time with a totally disparate experience and different family. And she doesn't really understand what's going on, but as a reader, you can see her emerging strength. And I think that's what kids like. I think that's what adults like. It's just, who doesn't want to see someone find that strong, better part of themselves? And who doesn't want to, you know, help someone get there? And the beauty of it is it's on these bounces that she, you know, through the power of love and connection and through feeling seen and soothed and safe in her body and her mind and witnessing and experiencing people who can hold her emotions, like even when she's falling apart, and help her learn how to navigate them, she returns. And once a child has that, and it's really just like as simple as someone being present with you and smiling at you and listening to you and being okay with you being angry or sad or being upset and helping you move through those very normal emotions. Once you have that as a human being, we all need that. And if you don't have it, life is going to be really hard. But if you do get it from either a caregiver or someone else in your life, or I hope hopefully a book, if you just get that somehow, preferably from a living being, but maybe worst case scenario, a book, once you get that, it really is a superpower because it helps you become more resilient and you're able to navigate situations that are difficult. And then beyond that, you're able to be there for other people because until you can be there for yourself and take care of yourself, it's really hard to be a good friend or to cheer other people on. So that's what Franny gets from the bounces, and she gets a sense of herself and a sense of her strength. And when she bounces back to her own life, she's able to just...
She's a better and stronger person.
Yeah.
and you have the feeling that she's going to make a better and stronger world.
Yeah. You know, I love that. That's such a nice sentiment.
I mean, that's exactly how I felt at the end, and I'm all choked up. Like, yes. I thought it was just delightful. And as I, you know, I have been a reader all of my life, from the day my big sister took me up the sidewalk to McGregor Public Library in Detroit. And, I just have lived in a book world ever since. And it's just, you do learn so much from books. And so it's wonderful that there are writers like you. You're writing, you know, a book that's very relevant, but it's not preachy. So I don't think any kid will say, oh, well, I have to read, you know, it's not that kind of a book. It's a book that you read it for fun. And as you're going along, you're learning things. And I know, of course, you have a PhD from Cornell. So you're in psychology, is it?
Education. Psychology.
Well, so
yeah, it's
in there. All that knowledge is in there, but you're not preachy about it. So
I hope so. I try and make it. You know, my goal always, Patsy, is that I just own it. Like, I'm writing for these young little readers who are really when you think about it, my readers have only been on the planet 10 years. You know, 11 years. Like, that is not a long time, and I just feel like that's so precious, like, that I get to spend time with a little being like that, and I want them to read the book and feel better and feel a good feeling. And I think kids can't put their finger on what they liked about the book. Like, they might say, oh, it's funny, or it might be, often for my readers, it's the first novel that they've ever read, you know, straight through, and it feels like a significant accomplishment, you know, when you're 10 years old to read a long book. But beyond that, most of them say, you know, they just felt better. It's hard to describe. It's sort of an intangible feeling, and that's really what I'm after, because I feel like if you can feel like you're less alone and feel a little more hopeful from reading a story.
Well, I got the feeling you were channeling your 10-year-old. You know, you're back there. And of course, in the it was fun in the swap. I know you have a lot of hockey in there, and you were a hockey player, right?
That's true. You did some research.
Oh, I know these things. Well, it's so funny. Sometimes you just hear about something. So last week I was reading a book about a freshman at Cornell. A hilarious book. Hilarious. It's called A Cow in the Doorway. Now, I'm sure when you were an undergraduate freshman, you did not invite a cow into your dorm room.
Is that what the story is about?
Well, it's so funny. You have to read it. It's by Gino Bardi. And, I mean, it's all about Cornell. It's a relatively new book. You can get it on Amazon. And it is so funny. And it is so Cornell. I mean, it's so, you really feel like you're in Cornell when you're reading this book. So
nice.
You have to read it. You'll love it. It's just, yes. But you didn't have a cow in your dorm room, did you?
Not that I remember. I mean, it was a while ago, but we do have lots of cows, though, pretty close to where I'm sitting here. And I live in a really beautiful part of the United States. I live in Ithaca, and it's, you know, we have the sort of vibrancy of a university, world-class university, but it's also just the natural beauty really informs a lot of what I do, like the waterfalls and lake and gorges, and a lot of the peace I have in my own heart comes from living in a place that sort of almost holds you. You know, it's just breathtaking. I was just on a walk yesterday, just right by my house, and I turned to my friend and I was like, I've lived here my whole life. I can't believe I get to live here. It's just so humbling when you're around nature.
Well, Megan Schull, I just want to tell everybody, I'm holding up your book. It's a very cute cover, because I'm also on podcast and I want everybody to see it's a cute cover. It's a wonderful book. It's called Bounce. It's available all over the place. Barnes Noble, Amazon. And do you have a website?
I do. My website is Hey, like if you are waving, H-E-Y, Megan, M-E-G-A-N.com, and all my social medias. It's just my name, Megan, M-E-G-A-N, Schull, S-H-U-L-L. And, yeah, I'd love it for your listeners to read Bounce or read The Swap and reach out. And I'm happy to say hey back. And I love hearing from readers of any age. And I mean, I especially
you know, I think parents should read this book too, because it really gives you an insight into how kids feel and how sometimes you can hurt a kid's feelings in by doing something that you don't realize is hurting their feelings. And I think it's a great book. Parents should read it as well.
That's so insightful. I agree. I think it's books can just be such a great way to connect with a child and to connect to sort of a hopefulness and a feeling. And yeah, I say more of that. Let's have more of that in the world. And I'm doing my best over here to add to that. I know lots of people are out there doing their best too. And so I think it will take all of us to keep hope alive and keep trying and keep loving and keep being kind. And I hope that's the feeling that comes across in my new book, Bounce, and in The Swap. And
yes.
Yeah, it's just been a pleasure.
So everybody has to watch The Swap on Disney Channel on October 7th.
That's right.
Okay, great. It was wonderful talking to you, Megan.
Thanks so much, Patsy. My very best to you and all your listeners, and a big hug.
Okay.
I'm gonna give you one of those, too.
Okay, thanks a lot, Megan. Bye for now. Bye. Oh, she's so cute. It's delightful. This is a fun book. If you have a kid in your life, it's a book well worth reading. And I really enjoyed it myself. So yeah, as I said, it's really good for every age. Now I just want to again remind you, I'll be tonight at the public library downtown in St. Petersburg, and it starts at 6 o'clock, and there's a meetup sort of at 5:30. So if you want to come a little early and talk and meet me, I'm going to be giving away a few books at the event. So if you're there, maybe you'll get one. And meanwhile, I just want to thank everyone for joining me. I've got Irene Goodman coming up in 2 weeks. She's going to be back on the program to talk about her critiques and how these critiques can help you just to become a better writer and get yourself ready to find an agent such as Bob McCoy, if you're lucky. And meanwhile, keep working on that platform of yours, all you writers, because you need to have a platform. And that's what they look for now when you're out there trying to sell your book, whether you're trying to sell a book that's been published or a book that you want to have published. You need to have your platform up and running. So let's talk about that. You can ask me questions tonight, too, at the library. And meanwhile, just have a great weekend. Find your joy and share it with others, and just be bouncy, bouncy yourself, and just have a great weekend. See you next Tuesday. Same time.